You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Monday afternoon here in East Tennessee. Hope you had a great weekend. Nice to get a little rain last night. The drought is over. When will that championship drought end for Tennessee football? We're going to get into that here this afternoon a little bit. I am at Stately Smith Manor Studios this afternoon for the program. Bear and Marcus are back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Good afternoon, Bear. How are you, sir?
Doing really good, Russ.
Really good?
Yeah. Had a good day. Yeah, had a good weekend.
Good way to start the week. It's going to be a good week of shows. I'm going to be on this week. I've got a vacation lined up next week, so we're going to lean into it and give you five really outstanding programs this afternoon. It is my solemn vow to you, the loyal Fan Run listener. We appreciate you being along for the ride here today. Well, the college baseball season has come and gone. Ole Miss has won the national championship, and I just find it utterly bizarre. I know baseball is a weird sport. I mean, I'm watching my Braves last night, Bear. And we are down. We are one strike away. I mean, we're just dominant. One strike away from winning 2-3 against the mighty Dodgers, and it's 2-0. We're cruising. The first two guys have struck out. Jansen's about to strike out the side, and then three straight singles. And next thing you know, the Dodgers win the ball game. Baseball's weird, man. Baseball's weird. We got a national champion this year that Tennessee beat the absolute hell out of on their home field earlier this season. Toyed with that team, Bear. I mean, it wasn't even close. And the two teams went in different directions. Bear, does it make you feel any better at all about the way this season ended, about the future of Tennessee baseball, to know that Tennessee absolutely dominated the last two national champions, Ole Miss and Mississippi State, in the Magnolia State this year on their home fields, 6-0, sweeping both series, and I don't recall any of those games being close.
No, it doesn't make me feel any better at all.
Okay. Not at all, huh?
I thought we were just going to leave it alone for a while. What happened to that?
Well, I mean, we got 3 hours to fill. We're going to talk baseball. It's late June here. It's what we do.
Peel the scab off again. All right. Bleeding. Check.
Well, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, I believe Tennessee is expecting good news soon from another transfer, in-conference transfer. Zane Denton, who is Alabama's third baseman this year. Pretty nice player. Of course, Tennessee has an opening there with Trey Lipscomb matriculating. Leaving the bad guys to join the good guys, perhaps. He's a Nashville native, played at Ravenwood High School in the mid-state. He is in the portal. Maybe Tennessee gets him. Would that make you feel better, Bear?
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
Senior player, a lot of experience. Did not have near the numbers that Trey Lipscomb had this year, but, I mean, come on. It's who does? I mean, you're talking about one of the three or four best, you know, players, non-pitchers in college baseball this past season. Pretty stout infield. If you had Denton at third, Maui Wowie at short, Christian Moore at second, and big Blake Burke at first base. Tennessee's going to be, I mean, I'm no college baseball expert. I don't know what everybody else has coming back next year. But you show me a team that's going to be ranked ahead of Tennessee, number one in the preseason polls next year, I'll have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're going to be. I'm worried we're going to have another season where we're lights out and we're going to go into that thing, the number one overall seed again.
Yeah, well, I mean.
But hey, it is a good thing to have to worry about.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown. I mean, you can't shy away from the expectations. I think there are certain things that maybe you adjust, maybe you do differently. And we're supposed to have Coach Vitello on the show this week, later in the week. So we can ask him about that. We can ask him about that, you know, the antics. And I'm not just talking about the players. I mean, we had we lost our head baseball coach for, what, 4 or 5 games this year to a lengthy suspension for bumping an umpire, whether he deserved it or not. And our pitching coach got thrown out of 2 ball games, including one that really cost us towards the end. I mean, do you adjust your approach at all? I think it's a fair question. I think it's a fair question.
Frank has to, man. Coach Anderson's got to.
Yeah.
He's too valuable. I think that hurt us a lot more than Drew. Him not being there on that Sunday.
Marcus, I want your thoughts on this. Young Marcus Young, go ahead and jump in here, buddy. Does it make you feel better, any better, as a Tennessee baseball fan that Tennessee absolutely dominated, not just this year's national champion Ole Miss, but last year's national champion as well, on their home field, 6-0 in the Magnolia State this year? Do you take any solace in that at all?
Honestly, I'm torn, because it's one of those situations where you see that, yeah, we can compete with the people who ultimately win the whole thing. But at the same time, when you flip that coin, it's, man, if we had just gotten through that Notre Dame series, that could be us. So it's kind of it really is a double-edged sword situation where you feel confident that this team can compete and can be in that spot, but you know you were so close. So close.
We'll put that poll in the field this afternoon. Does that make you feel any better that Tennessee had so much success against particularly this year's national champion? And what does it mean moving forward? How do you feel about it? Open lines this afternoon. If you want to jump in, go ahead and take a shot. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the drive this afternoon, 546-8200. As always, would love to hear from first-time callers. If you have never called the program before, this would be a great day to go ahead and take a shot. As always, just let Bear, Marcus, whoever's answering the phones in there know you're a first-time caller, and you will be moved right to the front of the line. Elsewhere in your world of sports over the weekend, it was a huge recruiting weekend for Josh Heupel and the Tennessee Volunteers. 13 official visitors in on Friday and Saturday, and then they had a big camp with some younger prospects, rising sophomores and juniors. Yesterday, it is the start of the dead period, so the coach is getting some much-needed rest, some R&R for some guys who've been putting in some long hours, some vacations being taken, things of that nature the next couple of weeks. But doesn't mean things are done. We're keeping an eye on a couple of big-name prospects that might be committing in the very near future. Tennessee gets 2 commitments over the weekend. Let's start with the first one, John Slaughter, a safety prospect from Mississippi, 3-star kid, 3-star player, but really good size, 6'1", 194 pounds. I almost wonder, you know, if he's almost 200 pounds of safety in high school, if he doesn't put on some weight and become a linebacker at some point. South Haven High School in Mississippi, really good school down there. So he comes from a strong pedigree program. Ed Bear, we've talked about this kid for a while now. You always love a safety named Slaughter. Those guys usually work out.
Yeah. 100%. It's a hell of a name to live up to.
Number 61 nationally among safeties, according to 247 Sports. So, and he's the, it's interesting, he's the third safety commitment for the Volunteers. You had the Luttrell kid, Jack Luttrell, out of Georgia, who was the first commitment in this class, and then Sylvester Smith from Munford, Alabama. So Tennessee pretty set there right now, and I think you want to turn your attention to corner as you fill out the secondary portion of this class. Christian Conyer, I see recently, you know, there was some worry. Bear is four-star defensive back from Kentucky, and Tennessee had long thought to be the leader. He goes on an official visit to Kentucky last weekend. All of a sudden, the gurus start, and you can read between the lines here what's going on. We got an NIL, good old-fashioned NIL bidding war breaking out here between Tennessee and Kentucky, and apparently Kentucky put their best foot forward and maybe gave him something to think about. He comes into his official visit to Tennessee this weekend. Sounds like the waters have calmed there, and Tennessee's done whatever they need to do to get Christian Conyer. We'll see. It's not done until he commits, and even then it's not done until National Signing Day. The other commitment this weekend, I like this name too, guys. Joshua Thielander.
That's a linebacker, middle linebacker, right?
Yeah, linebacker prospect from down in – or I'm sorry, I said Jeremiah Thielander. That's even better. I mean, Jeremiah, you don't, it's a name you don't hear much anymore. Jeremiah Thielander from Gainesville High School, Georgia. A.J. Johnson's alma mater, choosing Tennessee. Chooses Vols over Louisville and North Carolina. Another three-star, 6'2", 217. Pretty good size on Jeremiah Thielander. And – Tennessee,
he looks
a little momentum.
He's a large young man, so tackling machine.
Coach's son, I believe, heady ball player. So, yeah, two solid commitments for Tennessee. Now, all the other guys that were visiting, you're wondering about Nico. You're wondering about Malangoa. Was in town. I don't know, Bear, if you saw any of the pictures, but I guess Heupel and the other coaches took him out on the lake, took him tubing. That's always a fun thing.
No, I didn't see that, but yeah, that absolutely is a blast. I like driving the boat, Russ.
Always a fun thing for for young kids too, especially.
Oh, for sure.
They love getting out on the lake doing the tube thing. So he had a couple of other really nice looking prospects in cornerbacks, Jordan Matthews from Baton Rouge, Jakeem Jackson from, Orlando, Hunter Osborne, defensive lineman from Alabama. I don't feel super good about really any of these players. Feel pretty good about Malangoa.
Everything sounded like he had a good visit and
feel
his family enjoyed it
there. I think a lot of that will probably come down to NIL, quite frankly. I mean, that's where we're at with recruiting these days.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be a big one. That would be a big one. I believe he's a five-star on 247. I think Rivals just four-star, but still one of the top, you know, 50 or so guys
right
in the country. Really nice looking prospect right there. And then today, the other big news, Chandavian Bradley, who is a five-star edge rusher from Missouri, has put out his top three. It's Tennessee, Texas A&M, and South Carolina for him. Now, a couple months ago, out of the blue, some guy put in a crystal ball for him to Tennessee. So Tennessee's been in a pretty good spot right there. But again, Bear, you wonder – Texas A&M, are they going to swing that big NIL sword of theirs around? That could be hard to beat. I mean, I'd be stunned if he went to South Carolina over Tennessee and Texas A&M, but that would be a big pickup as well for this class.
The kid's out of Missouri, though?
Yes.
I feel like it'd be closer. I guess it wouldn't matter in the NIL. He'd have plenty of money to probably bring his mom and dad down on a private jet to see all his games.
You know, we talk about recruiting, whether or not it's going well. It is going well at the edge rusher position. Are we about to be edge rusher you?
I hope so.
I know you don't follow this as closely, Bear, but let me break this down for you here real quickly. So you've already got Byron Young on campus, right? Who we all think is a, you know, one of the better prospects on the team. He is poised for a breakout year. Dare I say a pick to click, Bear?
That's kind of a weak one. I mean, it's kind of obvious. He's probably going to be, you know, I don't think you still don't truly understand the genius that is a pick to click.
Maybe not. So you got him on the team this year. You added the 2 4-stars in last year's signing class, Joshua Joseph from down in Georgia, James Pierce from North Carolina. So 2 outstanding edge rushing prospects there to go with Byron Young. Next year for the class of 2023, we've already got the number one player in the state, Caleb Herring, a 4-star committed. He's an edge rusher. We might get Shandavian Bradley, a 5-star edge rusher. So there's 5 guys right there that could be on the team starting in 2023 together. And on top of that, Tennessee is the presumed favorite for the number one player in the class of 2024 in-state, Edwin Spillman, because his older brother Nate has already committed to the 2023 class. And if you believe the internet's 2024 number one edge rusher in the country, according to 247, Jonathan Eccles, who goes to IMG, has there's a lot of buzz on the message boards that this guy is going to commit to Tennessee in the near future, a 2024 prospect. So that is, if you want to include Byron Young, is already on, and let's just set him aside since we've already got him. But Joseph, Pierce, Herring, Bradley, Spillman, Eccles. That's 6 elite edge rushing prospects that Tennessee either has signed, committed, or is the presumed leader for.
Absolutely. That's how you win championships. That's how we did it in the 90s. But to, you know, compete with Alabama's and Georgia's, you got to start doing that, and you got to do it at multiple positions.
Yeah, I mean, that's – yeah, you got to do it at multiple positions. We talked about, I believe, the running back recruiting has been lackluster so far under Heupel. I think you need better prospects at the in the secondary at all positions back there. But edge rusher, like, that's the one. I mean, and I think, like, maybe next to quarterback, that might be the most important position. They are knocking it out of the park. They're knocking it out of the park as far as recruiting edge rushers. So if they can elevate the rest of the positions, you can feel really good about that.
You take care of that middle.
Yeah.
Middle of the defense, and then we've got to start landing like elite secondary talent. I mean, that was the other position group that where you, I mean, you got to go like, you got to stack them like that, man.
Yeah.
You imagine what those like position group rooms look like back in the old days. Like everybody in the room was going to play in the NFL. Just about. We're going to get a shot at least.
So big recruiting weekend for Josh Heupel and the Volunteers. We're going to talk about it with you when we continue. We'll go right to these busy, busy phone lines. Go ahead and take a shot now. Martin's already in here. A couple lines available, 865-546-8200. Your phone calls coming up next. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio on a Monday afternoon edition of the show. Russell Bear and young Marcus Young cruising along with you. Let's go to the phones, get things rolling here. 865-546-8200. Martin is in the leadoff spot today. What's up, Martin?
And how much, Russell? I just need to know if you know who the next 2 commitments are we might get this month.
Oh, that's a good question. It's a good question, Martin. So I need to go and find all the dates. I don't know that Tennessee's getting anybody else this month. You know, we've got 3 or 4 days left here in June. But I think there's a couple of kids committing on the 4th. And then Conyer is committing either the 4th or the 11th. I can't remember. And then Malangoa, I think, is going to do something soon, too. So, I mean, those are two.
I think he's supposed to decide on the fourth.
Who's that?
On the fourth, Malangoa.
Malangoa's on the fourth?
Yes.
Well, you got to feel good about that one because Tennessee got the last visit. And then I feel good about Christian Conyer. And those are the two most important ones, in my opinion. And then Shandavian Bradley, I mean, those are three huge, big-time prospects, Martin. If Tennessee got all three of those guys, I mean, whatever anxieties Tennessee fans were feeling about recruiting last week, I think will dissipate very quickly.
Yes. And, Russell, I got news on my Boston Celtics.
What you got, Martin?
I'm hearing they're going to trade Marcus Smart and Derek White.
Wow, both the point guards.
Yes.
Just start over at that position, huh?
Well, they got, in the draft, they got the kid from Alabama, and I sort of like him because, like you told me, Stevens likes him, the Celtics general manager.
Yeah.
And I believe he'll be able to help us, but it won't be right off, but he'll be able to help us some.
So they're not going to trade to bring Kyrie back, huh?
No, he's not coming back to Boston.
Not going down that road, huh?
No, and they said at the Knicks that Kyrie Irving's going to leave the Knicks, and so is Kevin Durant.
Yeah, the Nets. They
the Nets, yeah, the Nets.
That's, wow. I mean, that's just a strange situation right there.
The Lakers, so many guys. They said the Lakers might offer Anthony Davis Jr. to the Brooklyn Nets for Durant and give up two first-round draft picks with Anthony Davis Jr.
You got all these stars in the NBA who are prima donnas and eccentric and demanding personalities, and they fight with the coaches and their teammates and front office man and all this stuff. And meanwhile, you look at the last two NBA champions, you know, obviously the Warriors, and those guys are just no nonsense. Like, you never hear about infighting between them and Steve Kerr or the front office. Those guys just go out and play ball. And then probably the biggest star, the last year's champion, Giannis. I mean, like, you just don't hear about this stuff that you hear about with Durant and Kyrie and LeBron, yes, and Russell Westbrook and all these guys who just, they're about everything but playing ball, Martin. It's, yes, so weird.
I got news for you, Russell.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee Bucks, they wanted Grant Williams bad.
I bet they
do. What Boston told them?
He's not for sale?
They said he ain't. They said the boy ain't but 23 years old. And he's hitting over 47% of his threes from three-point land now, and he's getting better every year. And they're not going to trade him at all, and they didn't re-sign him up.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think that would be a possibility, the way he played towards the end of the year.
Yes, but I tell you what, I like Grant Williams. I bet he's going to stick with him.
I think they need to get some more help for Robert Williams. And I would be stunned if they traded Marcus Smart.
That's what I'm hearing, Marcus Smart and Derek White both.
Derek White, I wouldn't care. Would you? And Marcus,
I like him. He plays good off the bench, and he plays good defense. But I'll just go ahead and let you go, but be looking for that trade if you can for me.
We'll keep our eyes peeled, Martin. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Russell.
Martin, starting off the week with a banger phone call. If you want to jump in, take a shot now, 865-546-8200.
Would it be just a cap space trade? Cause
what, Marcus Smart?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand why they would move on from Smart.
I don't know, because I think what they need more than anything is some help for Robert Williams.
The post, yeah.
I'm I'll disagree here, man. I think they, and I know you're playing against Steph Curry, but I thought they were badly exposed. I thought that was a huge difference in the finals, is just how thoroughly outclassed they were at that position. And Marcus Smart just had some bonehead moments in the playoffs. And I think that you want to really be able to trust that position. So I think they need to upgrade there personally.
Would you?
Well, here's the deal. Proverbial ticking time bomb that nobody wants to talk about is the fact that Tatum had, I mean, he basically gave the title away.
Yeah. He's how old is he, though? He's still a young player, right? He's what, maybe 22 or 3?
I have no idea.
He's got to play. He does have to play better. He does have to play better.
He's got to get a hold of the ball, Russ. I mean, that absolutely crushed him.
He's 24.
Wow, he's young.
He's also, he's also fighting through a shoulder injury in that series, and he's also got to have some help. And again, I go back to not having a point guard that he could count on, and that whole team was loose with the ball, not just in the finals, but in other series. They were kind of lucky to be there, in my opinion.
So that's where I was hoping that if not Memphis, I was hoping that's where Kennedy would go.
I would have loved that.
That would have been a good spot for him.
So Woj says, outside of the Lakers, there are currently no known teams planning to pursue and sign and trade deals for Kyrie Irving, who has been told that he can look around.
I thought the Lakers were the only team.
That's what I just said. Irving needs a trade partner to coordinate an agreement on a deal to get a long-term max contract, but only the Lakers have interest. I hope it happens, man. I mean, that's got just spectacular implosion written all over it, just drama, nonsense, just a bunch of me-first malcontents all arguing over the basketball. That would be great. I hope
you just want to add Kyrie to that mix.
Yeah, let's just pour some gasoline on all that smoldering fire.
Wonder what known Laker superfan Terry Fair feed like that, getting Kyrie.
Can he? I guess he could play everywhere but New York now.
But KD wants out, and he's upset allegedly because of the way Kyrie was treated.
I mean, I'm sure the Nets would have preferred for him to play, but I mean, it's not like they have lawmaking capabilities.
No, but they could have ate the fine and just let him play. It's going to be like $1,000 fine every time.
Oh, I thought he was legally not allowed to play.
I don't know. I was listening to Talk Sports earlier, and the boys were talking about it, and I think John or Charlie wanted it. Saw where it was just going to be like $1,000 fine for every game.
Maybe they did miscalculate there.
I mean, they're probably bad. It had probably zero to do with the money and more with, you know, how it was going to look. This guy's just because he can pay the grand a day, or the business can, but we're holding everybody else to the letter of the law.
No winners.
No.
In that situation.
Yeah.
Certainly not Nets fans.
I'll tell you, if Kyrie goes to L.A., just about cement me swearing off the Lakers until they blow up this version of it.
If they got rid of all their star players, you would return and become a rabid Lakers fan?
I mean,
just admit, like, you're like me. This is watching NASCAR for the car wrecks. You want to see the most volatile situation you can imagine, just to sit back and watch the fireworks.
Begrudgingly, I'll agree with that. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the year, it was kind of more fun this way because I really don't have a rooting. You know, the Lakers have basically done what, you know, Washington, the Commanders did to me. So I'm just watching, like, I watched the finals just from just a pure enjoyment of watching high-level basketball. And getting to watch Grant play. I mean, you know how it is. You can't root against Tennessee guys.
There was a near collapse, a near fainting spell by a ball boy at Wimbledon today.
When you get all lock-legged. That's what usually happens.
It's pretty warm over there. One of the player, Jody Barrage, is during a women's match, noticed the ball boy was feeling faint on the sideline during her match today, rushed over to make sure he was okay. She gave him a sports drink and some nutritional gel before a spectator handed over a bag of candy, said, "We just wanted to get some sugar in him. Hopefully he's feeling better right now." Her heroics didn't help her in the match. She lost to Lisa Turnsenko 6-2, 6-3 on the opening day of the tournament. I love the opening day of Wimbledon, Bear, when the grass is fresh. It hasn't been worn away on the baseline and up at the net. Beautiful, beautiful tradition in sport.
Oh, I'll start paying attention. Once it gets to the finals, like, I'll keep it on. On the TV, that's definitely a great summertime background. Throw it on the TV while you're doing stuff around the house.
Let me guess. It's going to be Djokovic or Nadal winning Wimbledon. Not a lot of drama.
No.
On the men's side. I did see where Serena is back. That'd be a good story if she could make a run.
Yeah, I'd like to see her get one more and just
on the women.
So you put her, how many titles does she have now? Like, she surpassed Navratilova, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's far and away the GOAT at this time for women's tennis.
But it's kind of always been this way. There have always just usually been two guys, sometimes three.
Yeah.
Borg, McEnroe, I mean, Jimmy Connors. Who else?
No, I like the 80s version of that. That was always my favorite. You had the Americans going, not to be jingoistic or anything, but when Sampras and Agassi were slugging it out, maybe Jim Courier back in the day.
Yeah.
Michael Chang. Boris Becker.
Boris is in trouble.
He's been in trouble, man.
Dude's a bad dude, man.
He just can't stay out of trouble. And it's like the perfect example of you can't judge a book by its cover, right? Because you look at that guy back when he's playing, and he's like always wearing a sweater vest and, you know, like neatly cuffed tennis shorts. And you just think, oh, this is like the squarest dude ever. And then, like, as soon as his career ends, it's just one legal snafu after another.
Legal snafu?
Yeah.
He's crooked. Yeah, you can't judge a book by its cover.
Hope we haven't totally submarined the show in hour number one with about 10 minutes of NBA talk followed by tennis talk. Should we pivot and get back to Tennessee-centric conversation, Barry?
I mean, I don't feel like, you know, you have to know how to talk about it. I mean, some of that tennis stuff's kind of funny and interesting.
I mean, second segment of the show, and some would say we have we have strayed severely off the beaten path. I like it too, though, man. Some sports radio hosts call this the quote-unquote dead period. It has always been my favorite time, the late June, early July, where you just never know what we're going to talk about. Random stuff pumps out. You have to work at it a little bit harder to find topics and find conversation, but every now and then you stumble into something that, look, we know what we're going to talk about. When September rolls around, we know what the conversation is going to be for. Now with basketball and baseball, we pretty much know what the conversation is going to be for the next 10 months. But it's these two months, you just don't know. You just never know. We got to put this poll in the field, though. Does it make you feel any better knowing that Tennessee so thoroughly dominated the last two national champions in college baseball on their home fields no less.
Certainly not.
This year. It does me, man. It does me. I mean, look, I would have rather won it. I would have rather been out there. But first of all, I didn't watch a ton of it. It seemed like it was on everywhere I went, those games. And I was just watching Ole Miss dominate Oklahoma and thinking, okay, well, we still had our way with them. It made me feel a little bit better. Your thoughts? 865-546-8200. 546-8200. If you want to chime in on that, we'd love to hear from you. Plus, Florida Schadenfreude. What is going on down in Gainesville? We hit on this briefly, I think, Friday, Bear, but like Florida fans, well, they're not having a good offseason.
No, he's got a full-blown mess on his hands down there, including a letter from the coach to the fans. Nothing good ever comes unless it's the end of a championship season and he's posting a letter thanking the fans. That's not what the letter was with him. Very Butch-esque, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, I will always try and pump the brakes a little bit. I mean, Heupel didn't have a lot of pop this time a year ago. People talk, you know, about Brian Kelly not being a fit. I've always thought that was a very lazy narrative. It doesn't matter until these guys start coaching games, but color me very unimpressed with the Billy Napier honeymoon period, such as it is. We'll talk about it a little bit more when we continue. It is The Drive, Fan Run Radio on a Monday. Back with more right after this. Continues. Russell LeBaire back with you on a Monday afternoon edition of the program. 865-546-8200, your number to jump aboard here this afternoon as we break things down to levels that can only be described as beyond scientific. So let's talk about Florida's big weekend. Florida fans not feeling it right now. And Bear, I did not see this, but apparently Billy Napier had to address some of the fans. Like, you just go on their message boards, is like people are canceling their subscriptions. There's no recruiting pop. The great elite quarterback prospect they were in on, Jaden Rashada, evidently, according to reports, has committed to Miami.
Yeah, to Crystal Ball.
And there are reports that he has agreed to a $9.5 million name, image, and likeness deal with Miami booster John Ruiz. And there are also reports that he turned down an $11 million from the Florida Gator Collective, a report that their collective has denied. Now, this stuff is just getting messy, Bear.
Oh, I love it. Now, with that being said, they'll probably come up here and beat us on something stupid.
No. Why would you say that?
Because they're the Gators.
Why would you say that?
He's liable to go 3-0 and get fired in 2.5 years, dude. That's how this works. I'm conditioned to it by now, man.
Okay. So two different conversations here coming. And we've just discussed this already, and we'll continue to discuss it. It's a must-win game this year against Florida. I hate to say it, Josh Heupel early in year two. Oh, I know Banner Dan's not going to be waiting in the tunnel with a pink slip if he loses to Florida, but I mean, come on. If you want to be the guy here, if you are the coach, we all hope he is the prince who was promised, you beat that team in Neyland Stadium in September. So that's another conversation. Conversation I want to talk about right now is just like Florida. You might be right. Maybe he beats us two or three times before he gets fired in disgrace. But for right now, this is not a good start.
For Napier?
6-7 last season. They are currently 36th in the country in 247's composite team rankings for the 2023 class, behind such noted football stalwarts as SMU, Rutgers, Northwestern, and Duke. Oh, look, they're going to finish ahead of all those teams, but I think they expected to have a little bit more momentum right now than they currently do.
No, I mean, it's like apathy's settling in down there. I mean, now, I saw some posts from one of their message boards where one guy, a lot of them are despondent. Something I picked up on it real quick because I know it well.
Well, again, I'm just going to go back to what, you know, this time last year, there was no momentum for Tennessee, right? None.
Zero.
And we tried, you know, every which way before the season. But I remember, like, there was no – even the week of the season opener, there was just no conversation. There was no hot-button topic that got the phones popping or anything like that with Tennessee football. And, I mean, we're already taking calls on it, you know, pretty much as soon as baseball ended. We started getting football calls, which is, I think, good sign of at least a program that's getting some traction here early. So that's where Heupel was last year. Now, it's a little bit different for them. Every situation is different, and the NIL thing has added a new wrinkle to it, because there's a perception there that, and I think this is any time a fan base loses out on a recruit, now this is what we're going to do. Well, they just bought it. Well, our NIL, our collective is not doing its job. And that's what Tennessee fans were saying last week. And then they have a pretty good recruiting weekend, and that talk dies down a little bit. But Florida is struggling in recruiting, so their fan base is just saying, well, it must be the NIL, right? We're not doing what we need to do to be competitive in that space.
Well, I mean, here's another thing that we might want to just contemplate, the fact that Miami, I mean, the NCAA has already been there, or is there, about NIL stuff, correct?
Evidently.
And they just basically pulled down their pants and shot the moon at the NCAA.
Well, check out this this Caspino guy who we've talked about before. I think he's involved with Nico's deal. Don't quote me on that.
Caspino?
Yeah, that could be a
regular. No, he is. I read something earlier that he is the attorney that was representing Nico. Yeah.
Well, he's evidently also the one who negotiated Rashada's deal. And check out this quote. He said this on the record. Michael W. Caspino, who is known as the NIL lawyer in college football right now, says, quote, Jaden left millions on the table. Millions. He did not pick the highest offer. He went there because he loves Miami, the coaches, and the opportunity.
Huh.
I mean, I guess there's, like, he's not subject to, this is what I love about.
Well, I mean, he's still got a 9.5, did you say?
Yeah, but listen, this is what I love about where the NCAA is at, is, okay, they can go and saber rattle at the schools, and maybe, you know, the coaches and the ADs are a little bit afraid, and maybe even the players are a little bit, you know, these are young kids, like, you threaten them with their eligibility, and, you know, they don't necessarily know that the NCAA has no teeth, although I think more and more of them do. But for a lawyer like this guy who's just negotiating the deal, he DGAF. He's just going to get him an interview and talk about it. Oh, what? It's irresponsible of them. He could get the young man in trouble. The NCAA might. Well, yeah, but he's his lawyer.
So how's he going to get the kid in trouble?
He's probably already told the kid. It's like, look, yeah, the NCAA, they probably will call you. They're probably going to call you because I'm going to go out there and tell them how much you got. And they're probably going to call them and call you. And when they do, you just give them my phone number. And that'll be the last you ever hear from them. So funny, man. So funny. And like I told you last week, people were talking about, you know, Tennessee's not playing the NIL game. You hear all these glowing reports of the recruiting weekend and everything. You really don't think that Francis Malgoa and his family had a sit down with Spire over the weekend? You really don't think Christian Conyer met up with those guys and went over the finer points of whatever the offer is going to be? I mean, come on. Come on. This is college football in 2022. This is the deal. It's recruiting. It's all out bidding wars.
Yeah,
and
you're not
absolutely powerless to stop it.
Zero. It's got to be incredibly frustrating for some of those NCAA people. They've got no power anymore. Nobody's scared of them. The only thing that worries me is they have us dead to rights because we self-reported, told them everything about the Jeremy Pruitt experience.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's not an NIL deal. And this is the complexity of what's going on with Tennessee and why Tennessee's situation is a little bit different and why I don't fault Danny White if he's being a little bit more cautious than other athletics directors around the country are when it comes to this, is because they have this unique thing going on with nobody's accusing Tennessee of violating NIL rules when it comes to Jeremy Pruitt, because there was no NIL when he was here. But again, I mean, this gets back to the NCAA and whether or not they actually have a leg to stand on here is, how are you going to punish a school harshly for doing something that's kind of legal now? I know it's not the exact same thing. It's more pay for play, but still, like, just nobody cares about that.
Well, I mean, not only that, I mean, you've got Bill Self at Kansas, who just won a national championship,
thank you.
Dude.
Thank you.
We didn't benefit at all from any of that Gump idiot and that fat Alaskan dude he had as his bag man that's down at IMG now.
We circle back here. Got to take a quick top of the hour break here. Marcus has the top four at four. Hour number two is on the way. It is The Drive. It is Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. Back with more right after this.